Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snape was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They kill old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiled movie reviews.
Woo! Look like we made it to the end, everybody. That's right. This is my last movie review of the day, and I'm breaking the fourth wall. Just did so many of these in a row. But let's go ahead and finish this one out. Now, this one's not necessarily a screener awards contender. As you can see from the title, it is Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire. I watched it on Netflix. It is a PG-13, 2 hours and 13 minute version. The scuttlebutt is that there will definitely be a Snyder cut of this that will be longer, coming soon, and honestly feels like some type of weird gimmick from Netflix. I'm not sure how much Zack Snyder's behind that and how much Netflix looked at the all of the drama over the Snyder cut of Justice League and said, we want some of that, please. But whatever happened, we know that we're getting another version of this movie. So maybe I'll be reviewing this movie again when they put out a different cut. I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about it. This is for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or don't care about spoilers because I'm going to spoil the movie. I'm going to talk about what I like, what I didn't like, but let me tell you the synopsis. When a peaceful settlement on the edge of a distant moon finds itself threatened by the armies of a tyrannical ruling force, a mysterious stranger living amongst his villagers becomes their best hope for survival. Directed by Zack Snyder, written by Zack Snyder, Kurt Johnstad, Shay Hatton, starring Sophia Boutella as Cora, Jamin Hansu as Titus, aka General Titus, aka never has a last name. Ed Skrein as Atticus Noble. Michael Heisman as Gunnar. Ray Fisher as Blood Axe. Charlie Hunnam as Kai. And I'm trying to think. No one else I really remember or recognize like that. But anyway, let's get into this movie, what I liked about it. So, obviously, looks fucking amazing. Always. I mean, look, Zack Snyder ain't never had a problem visually putting some shit together. Shit always looks stunning. Like, they spent a lot of money, and you can tell. It's definitely, like, one of those, if it would have went to the theaters, everybody would have wanted to see it in IMAX 3D. That type of thing. Yeah, just amazing set designs, amazing creature designs and characters and robots and all that stuff. Just a visual feast for the eyes, the way the weapons are. There's lore within the lore here, where they might not tell you it, you might not see it all, but there's like, oh, why are these characters dressed this way? Why do they do this? So like, you're always kind of asking questions that are being, you know, just off of things you're noticing on the screen. So yeah, it is visually stunning, and I think that really works. It is a universe with a lot of lore, and that I'm sure this is based off a book or something like that. I was interested in knowing those backstories. Now, that being said, I don't feel that this movie did a great job of filling them in, but it made me hopeful that, because this is only part one of a trilogy or however many parts it's going to be. And so it made me hopeful that, you know, those things will be filled in at some point, because obviously, you know, they're going to do more of these, and maybe it'll be even be filled in by the director's cut that's going to have more time with it. Another thing was, I loved some of the character designs here. There were just like some cool moments and stuff. one of the creatures being like this spider creature that I forget her name, but the spider creature that there's a fight between her and a okay, I think the spider's creature was Harmada, which once again I want the backstory of Harmada, because Harmada kidnaps a child from the humans on this earth or this planet, and the planet it sounds like the humans have either colonized or moved into her planet, and maybe it's wiped out her own race because of the pollution, and it's made her own eggs not hatch, so she can't have her children born now, so she steals one of the children of the humans, and then there becomes this like fight between her and, man, I cannot remember the name. Nemesis. Yes. Nemesis, another great fucking character. Just, she has the fucking amazing swords that look like lightsabers, but they're not lightsabers. But the way she wields them and this fight and against this, that is the highlight of the film to me. Wish the film followed them and not the rest of the shit, just because that's how dope they were. Because they were, it was, and like that scene is only 5 or 10 minutes, and I'm, and once again, I'm so interested in it. It just, like I said, when the film is giving you the visuals, it is hitting to me. So yeah, I think that like that creature design, the character design, all these places are places that the film does well. Very simple message about fascism and essentially imperialism and Nazism and all this shit. Very simple message. The bad guys are just straight up Nazis. I don't even know if they have a black person on their crew. I think it's all white people. And I mean, they're played extremely evil. There's no, I mean, they didn't fuck around. This is like ChatGPT wrote a film about Nazis. It's not trying to even do the thing of like, well, they're, you know, they had to do what they had to do because they're, this is why they think what they're doing is good. It's like, no, they just show up. They're like, I'm evil. We here to kill people and all kinds of shit. It also is gritty. I'll give them a bit on that. I think the director's cut is going to be rated R. This is PG-13, and it was kind of held back by being PG-13. But we'll see if it was held back in some positive ways or bad negative ways at some point when we see the other cut. Because in the positive ways, there's a scene that alludes to these guys about to try to sexually assault somebody because that's the kind of Nazis they are. And this ain't your daddy's Star Wars. Okay, it's rapists in this Star Wars. And so there's this vibe of like, was that one of the things where Zack Snyder would have taken it further with his director's cut? And I hope not. Or was it one of those things where the things that were not taken further were like some of the violence and brutality of the fights, which I would have liked to see a little more bloodier and a little more gruesome. If that's where you want to separate yourself from Star Wars, give me that. And we didn't get any of that in this PG-13 thing. It felt very PG-13 to me. In those ways, and in the way the film was promoted as going so far beyond Star Wars, and it didn't in those cases. And I don't think it's unfair to compare it to Star Wars because Zack Snyder did in many interviews. Okay, so you come from the king, you best not miss. You know, it's hard to do Star Wars. All right, let me think. Anything else for positives? No, let's get into the negatives. So, okay, the characters to me feels like, this movie feels like video. If you watch someone else play a video game and you just saw the cutscenes, that's how the characters feel. They're not lived in, they're not three-dimensional. Very little time is really spent in their backstories. Once again, there are more movies coming, different cut coming. And it's kind of unfair because it's going to make me seem like a hater, or people that don't like the film seem like a hater. I'm far from a Zack Snyder hater. I know most of y'all listening, or a lot of people listening, hate Zack Snyder, and especially after the Snyderverse shit. I don't. I've liked a lot of his work. I actually like Watchmen. I know that, you know, some people don't like that. I fuck with it. I love 300. I even like Man of Steel. So, like, I'm not a Zack Snyder hater in the way that many people are. Even though I think the Snyderverse shit was just Gamergate remixed and terrible, and I hate that he even got in bed with those people, even if it was just to try to get his version of that movie out. I feel like that should have been beneath him. But point being, I'm not a hater. But this film's going to make it seem like I'm a hater because it could easily be addressed by his cut, which, if that's the case, feels like a gimmick and fucked up that you put this movie out knowing it was incomplete. And if it isn't addressed by his cut, then it just kind of feels like the Justice League Snyder cut, where it really didn't fix the issues for me as much as it kind of compounded the issues with shit I didn't care about. So anyway, the point being, this film is at once too fucking long and not long enough, because it just feels like video game cutscenes, like you're in a video game assembling your RPG group to be like, oh, we have to go recruit the witch, and then we need to go recruit the swordsman, then we need to go recruit the such and such. Then because the characters are so thin, when Kai, played by Charlie Hunnam, does this betrayal of everybody, there is literally zero subtext. At no point do you feel this nigga is not gonna betray them. Like, you went and got Charlie Hunnam, who already looks traitorous, but then, like, the characters' lines are all like, I can't wait to leave this life of piracy behind me and join the rebels. But, like, we met this guy in a bar for mercenaries. He's clearly devious. So, like, the moments like that that was supposed to be this major pivotal turn don't hit to me, because you either have to just be like, I'm accepting that this is a one-dimensional, one-note character that is immediately completely predictable, and that's okay, because that's what movies are. And I've seen people kind of defend it in that way, and I'm like, we can want better from the movie. And I think you may even get better from the movie with a different cut. If just a cut where they actually do a lot of shit together, and there's 20 minutes of them back and forth, and then 20 minutes of them being able to trust this nigga, and then he betrays them, well, it hits different. You know, it's in The Last Jedi, when Benicio del Toro's character betrays him, it feels different because he gave you enough time to be like, well, shit, I guess we thought he was a scumbag, but maybe he's kind of like Han Solo. He's a scumbag with a heart of gold. Oh, nope, nigga's a traitor. Oh, got us. You know, that's the feeling you need to get, and they don't spend enough time with any of the characters to do that. Even the lore, as I said, there's plenty of lore in this fictional, like, universe, but, like, there's a whole thing where, like, this falcon horse type creature thing that a Native American character with no shirt, or inspired by Native Americans, I guess, with no shirt on, because, you know, he's close to the earth, I guess, he is, like, taming it. He's like some type of slave. Then he tames it, but not tames it. Then the creature kills the man that used to own him as a slave and all this shit. And there's just like no real backstory there. There's no real, like, we needed some moments of like what happened to that guy. They needed to show us a little bit more rather than tell us. And where the film chooses to show us versus tell us reminds me of George Lucas's prequels, where you were telling me the stuff I'd rather see and showing me the stuff you could have told me. And so I felt like that was a big hurdle for this film to overcome. That may be resolved at some other point, but who knows if they will or not. Wooden acting. Okay. Sophia Boutella as Cora is not it. And this is probably the hardest part of these huge trilogies on people, these huge movies, is finding that actor or actress that can truly give you enough emotional depth with a lot of cliche storylines to make people believe in it. You know, Daisy Ridley had it for me with Star Wars. She had it. The dude that played Luke Skywalker had it, you know. These characters, in addition to Sophia Boutella having, to me, very wooden acting, the characters surrounding her don't really have time to be anything but one note. Ray Fisher's in this movie for all of 10 minutes. And me, it, like, gets killed, don't matter. And it looks like in the trailer for the next one, he'll be in it through flashbacks or something. But it was just kind of like, I guess this is Zack Snyder doing Ray Fisher a favor of giving him a role after he did all that shit to help get the Justice League Zack Snyder cut out. But when I tell you, it was like, for all the, he has so much respect for Ray Fisher and his acting and only he could appreciate him, I didn't get that feeling in this movie. That motherfucker was dead fast as hell. You know, Charlie Hunnam's character, dead fast as hell. Just, you know, Jamin Hansu's character, General Titus, nothing to fucking do here, really. And so it ends up not having the heart and the emotionality that attaches people to these type of movies. Now, there is a type of person that's just like, cool colors, good guns and fights. I don't need to be attached to these characters because I wasn't attached to any of these other characters in the better movies. So to me, this is a great movie. I've seen those people that say that, and that's cool, but it feels like the bar is extremely low when you start talking like that. And I feel like this has the framework of something that could be epic and did not quite get there. And maybe we'll get there with the director's cut. Maybe it'll get there as subsequent sequels come in, but wasn't there. And honestly, a lot of this stuff feels like predictable. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to, you know, swerve on the surprises, because, you know, the backstory that Korra was supposed to protect the princess, who was this blonde hair, blue eyed. Oh, that's another thing. This film is very racially weird. Anyway, the fact that the blonde hair, blue eyed princess is the good person that's supposed to be wholesome and save the universe and has heir to the throne, but she's dead or disappeared. The king and queen have been killed. The chorus character is called the Scar Giver. The sequel is called the Scar Giver. I mean, it seems obvious. Korra's character probably killed the king and queen and then abducted the little girl, probably because the king and queen were evil, and that the blonde girl who was almost sexually assaulted by the soldiers is that princess grown up, I guess. I feel like that's definitely going to come, and maybe I'll be shocked and there'll be something different. But if that's the case, then, you know, it feels fairly straightforward, and you know, I feel you have an obligation to complicate the plot enough for me to not be able to predict it so easily. I know I've watched a lot of movies and predict a lot of shit, but that feels like something everybody would get from this film. So I think that's a big one for me, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's not as predictable as it feels like it's going to be. The robot character also was just another, like, it just did not make sense to me, and maybe that'll also be revealed in the future, because the robot is like non-violent because the leader is dead and they don't they show it get beat up, but then it protects the blonde haired blue eyed girl, which makes me go, then she must be the princess, because they only protect the leader, but then they don't really give us anything else in this film, so who fucking knows what the fuck that was about. So, yeah, it just does this thing where it kind of satisfies no masters, because it's too long for the story they chose to tell, and it's too short for the story I would like to hear. And it feels like a gimmick to get me to watch a director's cut of this film that would flesh out the characters and the story more, and maybe match some of the imagery with some of the storytelling. I think I'd be into that. Last thing for dislike, I did not like Ed Skrein as like the bad guy. I know he's a white guy that looks like a Hitler Nazi and shit, and he does look the part, but he was not the threat the whole film that I think they wanted him to be. Like, he didn't seem very cunning or smart. He wasn't really that big of a physical threat. At the end, you know, he's fighting Sophia Boutella is such a small woman that I guess like he becomes a physical threat in that way, but not in the, like, when this guy pops up on the screen, I'm worried about him having some hands. Every time he like kills somebody, it's like because they're already on their knees and shit, you know. Shit, I said that was the last thing. I forgot one more thing. I wanted more of the alien shit. That was fun. The alien elder that gets killed, we only see him just get killed by Ed Skrein's character, Atticus Noble. Damn, I wanted more of that character, that planet, that kind of stuff. That's where I want this film universe to take me, is because I'm interested in that stuff. The creature in the bar that somehow seemed like it was helping this human get high or something, but also at the same time using the human to communicate with other humans because it did not have the talking apparatuses to communicate. I wanted more stuff like that, and I feel like there's a place in this film for that, and maybe we'll get that, but we didn't get it in this film. All that, like I said, the spider creature, oh, that was such a great character, and so I was so interested in that backstory, and we didn't get much from it, and then the character's killed within a few minutes of meeting it. So yeah, man, those are my gripes. Let's give it 0 to 5. I give it a 2. Visually stunning. A director's cut could move this shit all the way up to like a 4 or 5 if they do it right. I'm a little upset with Netflix and Zack Snyder for choosing to do this bullshit with the here's a less good version of our movie, but we'll follow it up with the actual movie where we tried. It seems like some bullshit. A different person would be like, fuck that, I'm not watching the other version, but I'm not like that. I like Zack Snyder's work, and if he can make it better, I'm there. I was gonna tell y'all I like Sucker Punch, but I know how you niggas feel about that film. So, you know, I liked it, but I won't fight you over how much y'all hated it. But I enjoyed it. So I'm not a Zack Snyder hater at all. So I just think what this was such a gimmick that it hurt the film, you know? And in the same way that when we reviewed Aquaman 2, it's like you can feel outside influences affecting the actual film you're watching. That's how this felt. Like they were, I was watching scenes like, oh, they clearly cut this. They made this short so they can have something to add later. Oh, they didn't give us a true characterization with this character because they're going to just add that in later. And that's not my jam. So 2 out of 5. All right, y'all. That's it. Peace.